Well, I want to say good morning to you all and thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you. This morning is going to be more of a testimony than a teaching session, but I hope that you'll take away from, it's amazing to me that I never spoke with the singers, that they chose those songs because they tie in very well with what I wanted to share this morning. So just want to, before we start, I just want to commit ourselves to the Lord and ask Him to guide and direct. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You now and we just want to say thank You. We just want to thank You for the encouragement. We thank You that You knit all things together well. Father, just as I stand here, I ask, Lord, that You'll take control. Lord, that You'll just provide the words that You would have spoken. Father, that we might see You, that we might understand a little bit more about You, and Lord, that You'll help us through life, through the things that we find hard. Father, we just want to give You the thanks, the praise, and commit this time to You. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, maybe you can turn to Psalm 103, because that's the base text that I will be looking at. But just before I go into that, people were asking me how is the church doing in Indonesia. When I say the church, some of you may not know, we worked amongst the Tegutil people in Indonesia for nearly 20 years. And the church there has grown. They've branched out and started other small churches around. The Akilamo church has grown quite large. It's doing really well. Even better than the church in Lele. So some of you will remember we went into Lele first. We learned the language and we translated the scriptures and we taught them chronologically through the Bible. And then later on, Heather and I took a couple of tribal people, a couple of tribal couples, and we moved to Akilamo because they'd asked us to go there and to teach them the same as we'd taught the people in Lele. And so That's gone really well. To God be the glory, not us. And I think it's just what He's doing. He's moving through the world. And what I'm doing now is I'm back in Melbourne, close to my two daughters. And I attend a fellowship there called the Ligon Christian Chapel. And they've made me sort of a guide for the golden oldies, if I can say that, now that I've reached the grand age of 70. So the one good thing about it is I'm too old to die young. So that's been a bit of an opening. But for me, the last 5 years has been pretty tough going. And I want to share a little bit about that today. Some of these verses I put up there, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. Sometimes in life, we come through periods of time of grief, and that's what I would call it. And I'll go into a little bit more about that. And it's overcoming grief that can be sometimes hard. It can be a difficult thing to go through. Now, all of us will have grief at some time in our lives. And I just want to share with you my story and how that's been for me. Maybe that might help some others. So in every chapter of our life, our loving Lord wants to draw us closer to Him. He really does. And each chapter in our life can be quite different. It can be exciting, it can be very fulfilling, and it can also be quite sorrowful, and it can be quite hard at times. Sometimes the chapter of life that we're experiencing is not the chapter that we would have chosen. It's not the chapter that I would have written, you know. But the Lord wants us to draw closer to Him even in those times. So we can choose, and this is where it comes back to me, that come across to me, we can choose to soar like an eagle or we can be overwhelmed in the circumstances. the sorrow can overwhelm us. And sometimes the chapter that has been written for us has been written for the benefit of others, not necessarily for us individually. And I just want to share a little thing. Quite a few years ago, a brother in the Lord had cancer, and he was going through a very, very hard time. And I wrote a letter to him. I said, in that letter, I said, I'm not going to use his name. I said, you're suffering potentially for the purpose of other people, so that others might see how you suffer through it. Because he was condemning himself, thinking, what have I done wrong? What have I done that has caused me to do this suffering? It's not always that way. Christ suffered for us, not because he did anything wrong. He suffered in our place for our benefit. And sometimes you might be called to suffer or to go through grief for the benefit of those around you in your lives. So, just to throw a few scriptures in there, if you look at Job, what did Job do wrong? Yet God used that in his life. He went through suffering that others could see that he was a righteous man. And all of the things that happened to him, he did not sin against God. He did not blame God. All those things. And God used his life for those around him. And then there's a blind man that Jesus was walking down the road, and the disciples said to him, oh, what sin did this man or his parents do that he's blind from birth? And what did Christ say? Christ said, this man was blind from birth. So that the works of God might be displayed. You know, God works through us. We're in a world that's going through a lot of, we're in a sinful world. We're in a world that's going through a lot of grief. And sometimes we're called to go through it so that we might be an example and show the light to other people. And that's what I want to encourage you about if you're going through it today. I have several friends at this point in time that are going through different types of grief, maybe lost jobs. I have one whose wife is dying. They're pretty tough things to go through. So much has happened to me personally over the last 5 years. Many of you probably know that Heather and I are now separated. And I don't know much about where she's at. But I do know that the Lord loves her, and I do know that the Lord used her, and I do know that she had a tremendous ministry in Indonesia. Those things I am so grateful for, and I just hope and pray that the Lord provides her a beautiful way ahead. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to happen. But just some of the things that she went through in Indonesia were really tough. They were tough. She was in the house on her own when a little boy had been shot through the eyes with an arrow, both eyes, and he turned up in there in the front room of our house, and I wasn't there. Nobody else there. She had to handle that on her own. So there was a lot of those things that she went through. Pray for missionary wives. Sometimes they go through stuff that you can't even dream of, you know. And some of those things were very traumatic. These photos, by the way, go back 45 years or so. So they're memories to me of what's happened. And just the other thing I'll say about Heather, she was the most proficient woman in the language of the tribal people. She set up the medical manual for the tribal people. She did the back to English translation for me. She did so much that sometimes it's missed. She also looked after orphans. At one stage, we had 5 orphans in the house. So things like that, you know, the Lord loves her and the Lord's going to watch over her. That's my prayer, is that she'll be blessed as she goes forward. It has not been easy for me. From the perspective of being separated, I found it quite difficult. And so it's what I call grief. So what is grief, you know? Grieving for the death of a loved one, yes, that's grief. To suffer distress, to be, for me, to be separated, to be sorrowful about something. And synonyms are to agonize, to hurt, to mourn, to suffer, and anguish. And I would have to say in the last 5 years, I've been through all of those. It is a difficult thing to go through. And then Psalm 103 is where I'd like to look at. So this, I've got two versions here. The one up there on the screen, you'll see I've changed the words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our own sins, or he hasn't dealt with me after my sins. If he had, I wouldn't be anywhere. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field. So he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments and do them, to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Blesseth the Lord, ye the angels, and excel in strength, and do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of the word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts. So in that psalm, you see God's character. It brings out God's character and how he wants to act toward us. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul. There is times when I don't, where I've been in the last few years, where I haven't felt like blessing the Lord. There's been times when I've felt really, really down. And that's what I really want to talk about today. And coming back and getting our focus back on the Lord, to see what he is doing, to understand that what I'm going through is not new to man, but he might use me through that process. He might use you through that process. It's difficult. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But what I want to encourage you today is to look at his character. And that's what it is here. Forget not all his benefits to you. So all of those things, it says don't forget it. It's easy for us to forget in the middle of grief or in the middle of mourning. It's easy for us to forget what he has done for us. And when we look at this chapter or this psalm, We see that he has done everything for us through the process. So I'm not sure. Sorry, I haven't been flicking the... Have I been flicking this over, or have I... I'll point it that way, do I? Did that go? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I couldn't see it from here, but that's... I do apologise. I probably should just flick back quickly. My wife and the kids, Becca is now 45 in the top picture, so it's a long time ago. But I do thank the Lord for them and for all that. It's not going forward now. Have I broken something? Try again. Do you want to try and roll it from there, please? Technical difficulties, that's what happens to technical people or IT people. You've got to have what we call a plastic mat syndrome. Unless the technician comes and stands on the plastic mat, nothing works. Okay, so I'll just flick one more over, please, if I can't get that. Yep. So I just wanted to look at some of the things, some of the circumstances. You know, when we look at our circumstances alone, we fail to see what the Lord has done for us. And it's very easy to become depressed and grieve for what has passed. Much as the Israelites did as they left Egypt. And if you look at in Exodus chapter 15, 22 there, it was only 3 days after they walked into the desert. 3 days, just 3 days. And they grumbled. They grieved for what they had left in Egypt. What did they leave in Egypt? They left slavery. But they weren't thinking of the slavery, were they? They were thinking of the leeks and the onions, so to speak. And, you know, sometimes that's the way we can be in our lives. We can move forward and we look back. And for me, I look back and I look at all those beautiful things that happened. There was a lot of tough things that happened there. For instance, we had BG in the house at one stage and we were giving him 17 injections a day to keep him alive. We couldn't make a sound. You couldn't do that. Otherwise, he would go into a fit because he had tetanus. And we had him there for 2 weeks. My wife put up that, try cooking without making a sound. Try walking. We had to send the kids away to our neighbours because any sound would trigger him. Some of those things were pretty tough back then. And we didn't know if we were going to get him through. Today's a leader in the Akilamo Church. So, you know, God does wonderful things. Sometimes it can be pretty tough going through it. But then if you look at the Israelites again, whether I should read this whole, I will. Exodus 16, it says, and they took the journey from Elam, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt, so roughly 6 weeks, roughly 10 weeks out of the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth to this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." You know, and that's what I found in my grieving process, or in the process. I would look back over the past and I would think, oh, if only I was back there. If only that hadn't happened. If only this had been. You know, and sometimes that drags us down. We don't see the perspective that the Lord has. We, as the Israelites here, did not see the perspective that he had for them. He was taking them to the promised land, to a place that he had prepared for them. And you know, that's exactly what he's doing for us. That's exactly what he's doing for us. And sometimes we can kind of get stuck in the past. Now, I'm talking from my perspective, where I've come from, and I just hope that it might encourage some of you not necessarily to stay in that place. Try this. Did it work? So what is the solution? It's look and see what the Lord has done. That's what I've found. It's to count the blessings, not look back on the past. Count the blessings. You know, and David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You know, it's hard sometimes for us to see into the future. It was hard for the Israelites to see the promised land. They knew they were going somewhere. They didn't know where it was. It's hard for them to see that. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the future that the Lord has for us. That's what I found anyway. And it says, forget not his benefit. He's forgiven all my sins. He's forgiven all my sins. Do I really grasp that? Do I really understand what that means? That I can be presented in heaven. He's forgiven them. He heals all my diseases. Now, when I think of diseases, I think of depression. I think of, you know, I think of despair. You go through despair or depression, and if you sit in this for a long time, it can just drag you so much down. Who redeems your life from destruction? He picks us up and he carries us up, carries us through, and he prepares us for something ahead. He's redeemed us from the potential destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? This is our God. He wants to pour his loving kindness out upon us. He wants us to see that. Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Who executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed? And I don't know about you, I look around Australia today and I grieve. I grieve at what I see happening. But I know that God the righteous will judge when the time is right, when he has set the time. So it's not to be something that drags me down. I get to the stage now, I don't know about you, we're looking at the news, there's nothing edifying. It's all just scary. You know, this is the God that we worship. He is the one that's going to carry us through. He's the one that's going to take us through. Who made known his ways to Moses, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and full of mercy. So much to be thankful for. You know, there's times when I've fallen, and when I say fallen, sinned, and felt like I could never get up again. Yet God picks us up. He's gracious and full of mercy. Who has not dealt with us according to our sins, who has not rewarded us according to our iniquities, who satisfies my mouth with good things and so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, some of you may know, I like to fly airplanes. I've really taken up gliding because it's a lot cheaper. And I really enjoy gliding. And you know what I really enjoy gliding is when I'm at 4,500 feet riding on a thermal and I'm seeing an eagle circling in the same thermal with me. It's something I can never convey to you how beautiful that is. You know, and you're riding on that thermal, that bunch of warm air that broke away from the earth and is lifting up, and you've got no power. You're floating on that thermal. You know, and that's what God wants to do with us in our spiritual lives too. He wants to lift us with his loving kindness and carry us over. You know, so I'll sidetrack here for a little bit. I went to New Zealand in March to see my brother and sisters and to spend a bit of time with them. I retired in December last year. And so I went over to visit. And we had a great, great time catching up together. We spent 2 weeks together and then driving from my sister's place in Christchurch to my other sister's place in Queenstown, I decided to stop off at a gliding club and see what would happen. And I asked, I pulled in there, it was late in the afternoon, I forgot what afternoon, it was Wednesday or something like that. Pulled in, I said, oh, what's the chance of going for a glide tomorrow? They said, oh, that'd be great, yeah. They had a look at my logbook and said, yeah, we'll send up one of our instructors with you and you can go for a flight. Because, you know, there's all insurances and everything else like that you've got to work out. And as we were flying up, we were launched off just a wire. So a wire was pulled by basically a tractor roller at the other end, and it pulled us up till we got to nearly 1,000 feet. And then we let loose of the wire. And we got into some thermals. And those thermals took us up to 15,000 feet. So we had to go to oxygen, put oxygen on. And then later on, we climbed all the way to 25,000 feet, twice the height of Mount Cook, the highest mountain in New Zealand. It was minus 25 degrees C, but it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful, just looking out over the land. And, you know, that reminded me of what God wants to do with me. He wants to lift me up. He wants to lift you up. He wants you to be able to see from his perspective, to look out over it and see everything. And it was kind of interesting. I didn't realise till afterwards. It never actually twigged with me. The registration of the glider we're in was Zulu Kilo Golf Oscar Delta. So Zulu Kilo is the New Zealand designation, and Golf Oscar Delta, or God, G-O-D. So it was just an interesting thing afterwards. I never expected to do it, never knew it, but God just gave me that little boost, probably at a time I really needed it. And, you know, the lesson I take away from it is we need to see from God's perspective, and he wants us to soar like an eagle. He wants us to see out a bit further. And if I could have made the choice just to stay in the doldrums. It's easy to sit in your circumstances and feel sorry for yourself. But he wants you to soar like an eagle. He wants to lift you up and carry you through. And the beauty of this whole thing, it's not my strength. But when I look back, as we did at Psalm 103, when we look back and see the character of God and see what he wants to give to us, that is what can lift us up. So when we get down, and maybe you're not like me, maybe you're better than I am, but I can get down, I can feel, get into despair, and even retirement was something for me a bit new, and, you know, what do I do now? It's all those things. They can get you down. And it's looking back and seeing what God wants to do in our lives. So watching the eagles majestically soar in the thermal now reminds me of God, what God wants me to do. He wants me to trust him, spread my wings, and allow him to lift me up and carry me through. You know, and we need to see, allow the Lord to carry us through these trials. Look, we're all going to go through some kind of trial at some stage in our lives. And it's allowing him to carry us through those trials that we really need to do it. And the only way we can do it is when we look back on the character of God. And I'd just like to point to you again, Psalm 103. It points out the loving mercy of God and every aspect and how he wants to benefit us. So focusing on our circumstances really limits our ability to see God's perspective. If we get so focused on what's happening to us, we won't see what God really wants us to see. While we may have failed, we may have fallen, he still wants to lift us up. You know, sometimes we fall and we say, oh, I've fallen so far, nothing. You know, that's the lie of the devil. Because it's not about us. We're always going to fail. God knows we're going to fail. We are frail people. We're just a flower of grass that gets blown away. He knows we're going to fail, but he wants to lift us up. He wants to put his loving hands under us and lift us up. It may not have been, you know, he wants to lift us and see us soar above this world. He doesn't want to see us fall into depression or, dare I say it, alcohol or drugs or something else that stirs you along. He wants you to look back and see him and allow him to lift you up. It may not have been what we expected. It might be a curveball in our lives. That's, for me, it was a real curveball. But he is the one that enables and lifts us up, and he has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. We know that all in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, it's no surprise to God when you sin. Might be a surprise to you. But God will work through every aspect to bring us back into his loving kindness, to lift us up in the thermal of his love. That's the way I look at it. Spread your wings and fly. So I want to just talk briefly about lows and highs, because we all go through them. Well, I do anyway. I'm expecting that other people are similar to me. You know, so in gliders, when we're flying, when we get into what we call sink or down currents or turbulence, whatever you want to call it, we pick up speed. We fly through those as fast as possible, because the longer you sit in them, the further down it takes you. And you know, it's the same thing when we're, for want of a better word, feeling sorry for ourselves. It pulls us down, it drags us down. And it's hard. So dwelling in sink shortens our flight. Dwelling in grief can cause us to despair. Again, I'm just sharing this from the things that I've been through in the last year or so. So turning to Psalm 103 and remembering all that our Lord has done for us can help us focus and change and help us to soar again. Getting our eyes off ourselves, even around the others. There's a song that says, I'll take you by the hand through London. If you're feeling lonely, I'll take you by the hand through London and show you other people that are in a worse situation than yourself. And there are others around us that are in a worse situation if we care to look, you know, and we can be praying for them. And even David went through this. This was from Psalm 42:5, and if you look in there, this verse is actually repeated twice and in another version once, so it's three times it comes up in the psalm. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. You know, and that is the step out of getting out of that depression or the grief, or whatever you might be going through, you know. I hope this is an encouragement to you. I'll just finish with one last slide. If I can make it turn, there we are. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Looking forward is what we need to do. Looking forward to what God has for us. And that's about all I had to share today. And I just pray that it's a help to somebody here. It's by way of a testimony. I'm not trying to teach from God's word on this. I just wanted to share with you what I've been through, in the hope that it might help somebody else. And maybe we can close in prayer, and we'll go from there. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're so merciful, that you lift down and reach down and you want to pick us up and to help us soar. And Father, I just pray for each of us here today, that we might be able to turn again and see your character, see how much you loved us, see how much you've given for us. Father, that you will lift us out of our circumstances and that we might praise you and seek you again. Father, we ask these things and we thank you through our precious Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.